Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, June 19th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and we are talking business. So that means we had to invite Mark Turnquist back in because he's the president of the Small Business Association. And when the Small Business Association comes in, right, he goes in detail about what all initiatives that is happening. But also I have in the studio is David Turnquist, and I'm excited to have David Turnquist because when I see David Turnquist, I always think about Sheep Tongue, right? But the mic should be on. But go ahead. What you said? You can't hear me. That is okay. No, just talk directly to that, and I'll fix you up soon.
Yeah,
you're live.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, how are you doing? This is not David Turnquist. This is Mark Turnquist.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm from the 242 Small Business Association Resource, and I'm the president and the founder. And the reason why we're here, because we have a big, huge initiative on Saturday at the Fox Hill Community Center, and plus it'll be on Zoom. We have a 242 Small Business Prosperity Workshop. It geared towards entrepreneurs and small business owners to conclude on their business plans.
When you say workshop, explain exactly what will be happening on Saturday.
Okay, basically we have 17 different speakers and topics doing all type of different areas. We have accounting, talking about accounting plans. We have lawyers talking about the legal plan. We have web consultants talking about how to start your internet process and web pages and everything. We have mobile wallets companies coming in. And of course, we have marketing companies. We're talking about the Small Business Act, the government, and we're speaking about the National Development Plan. And we're talking about the entrepreneurship and everything that comes with starting, managing, and growing a business.
I just recently learned, it was actually on one of the ministers mentioned it, that 45% of the businesses are small, micro, medium-sized businesses. Because I thought government hired everybody. So when I found out, I said, man, that's like the majority of businesses in the Bahamas, 45% or thereabouts, are small and micro businesses. So this is where your group comes in.
Exactly.
Your groups support and reinforce those small businesses and make sure that they have the tools necessary to propel themselves forward, right?
Exactly.
But who should be attending this event?
Okay, basically, there's a lot of different categories. You're looking at young people, male and females, who can't find a job or who are looking for a job and they're not happy whatever what they're doing. They can start their own business. So what we do normally is to assist them right on the spot because we're getting people in business right on the spot. We have business plan template, 26 pages, focusing on all aspects of the small business model.
I'm going to stop it right there. You have a business plan template.
Exactly.
So I'm coming to this event.
Exactly.
What is business plan template is going to be okay. to benefit me? How?
All speakers will be speaking on various topics of the business plan template.
Okay.
So therefore, you'll have the in-person conversation with experts to explain you when you're writing a marketing plan, what you need to put in a marketing plan. When you're writing your legal section business plan, what to do. When you're putting your financial statements, the income statement, the balance sheet, and of course, cash flow statement, they'll tell you what to do and put it in. So you write then and there will have the idea exactly what to do. The business model will help you produce it.
Okay, let me start over now. So this event is going to be happening at the Foxer Community Center.
This Saturday, September 24th.
This Saturday,
September 9 to 5.
9 to 5. So I'm coming there.
Yes.
Do I need to bring any money?
It's only $15 for groups.
For group, for an entire group?
For, per person, per groups. We have a lot of group people. And it's, okay, and it's $50 individuals.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of inner city, like people from Scrooge, Valentino area.
Mm-hmm.
Valentino. And then we have Eric Fox people coming. We have Henry Higgins people coming. We have Bash, Terry Miller people coming. We have Carlos Reed people coming. We have inner city youths, right? Randy and all of them from East Street. Randy Hanna people. We have young women who just want to start a business. They on their job now, they want to start a business. We have entrepreneurs who are already in business but have a difficulty of exactly how to present a business plan to a government organization, a banking organization, or some type of investors. So that exactly what we're doing. We're trying to get you in business with funding. We're trying to get you business with knowledge. So everybody, so also we'll be on Zoom. So you could pay on Zoom and everything from Abaco in the north to Inagua in the south. So this is a small business association, gigantic business prosperity workshop. It will guarantee all of our persons who are attending, be it virtually by Zoom or in person, will have an idea on how to sophisticated develop a business plan. That's very important because a lot of people don't understand there's 70 different sections of the business plan.
So I understand that now what you're doing. So Saturday, when I come there, one of the first aspects is going to be doing is someone's going to help me develop my business plan.
Exactly.
And then the experts there is going to hash out, critique what I have, or at least give me information on what I need to have a successful business plan in order to pursue this prosperity you're talking about.
Exactly. And that's very important because you as well as I also, because one of the our initiative of the 242 Small Business Association Resource Center, because a lot of things occurred. We marched in 2000 to get us back in business because don't forget, the former government said we was non-essential. We got to stay home. So we marched. That's to get us. We moved from a movement to with momentum into a major membership drive. So at the end of the day, we are focusing with a big mission for all of our small business owners to stay in business. But don't forget, we strategically align with understanding that in order for us to be sustainable and effective over time, we need a Small Business Act. There's no Small Business Act. So we're lobbying the government now to get that. There's no national plan for small business development. We are not in the arena to speak with government to how we need to advance our sector. So that's one thing we want to do. We also want to earmark funding to specific industries to assist us. So there's a lot of initiatives we have, but this is our one of our main focus to get people in business first, and then we're going to focus on the government aspects of Small Business Act in September when we come on vacation, September, October, November. We already met with the Prime Minister and Michael Akidis, Minister of Economic Development. So we are well on our way for being 2 years in business, but we're right now in a great momentum.
So this workshop,
mm-hmm.
Who can small business micro business expect to be at the workshop to be a part of the tutoring part?
Yeah, basically we have consultants. We have people like Keith Dean, we have Alberta Rowe, myself. We have people, and we're going to speak with David Turnquist, who is right now is going to explain the challenges and opportunities of a small business owner in the processing. He's going to soon speak, and David Turnquist is our financial family island administrator. He looks at the family islands and mentoring. And then we have people like Kendrick Christie, who will focus on the income statement, balance sheet, and cash flow. One of the main problems with a lot of businesses was that when they get a business license at the beginning of the year, they could not get it because they didn't have an income statement together. So Kendrick Christie is going to address that, how to develop your income statement so that at the end of the day, everybody who attend a workshop is going to understand about the main categories of income statement, from revenue, the cost of goods sold, the gross profit, the operating expenses from net profit. So they're going to understand everything. We have Sebastian Curry from, he's going to talk about websites, how to develop a website. From his perspective, he's going to help you everything. So you have simplified lending. They're going to show you how to access the funding and, you know, and possibly we have our X there. Speak with crowdfunding and everything too.
So it seems you have a number of topics. It's going to be detailed for persons in a small business. Right. But where can people actually view the listing of the courses that is going to be offered or topics going to be offered?
Yes, we have a CR code. And of course, you could call me. We have websites and everything. My name is Mark A. Turnquest, founder and president of the 242 Small Business Association. My telephone number is 427-3640. That's Mark A. Turnquest. Telephone 427-3640. And I'll send you the link and everything where you could register.
Okay. And I want to ask you some more questions as to topics that people can benefit from. Because I hear what you're offering. Definitely.
Exactly.
I heard about the business plan. Mm-hmm. And now I'm hearing about the balance sheet. And it seems as if it's going to be like a one-stop shop where you come in. And you explain the process of how to open up a successful business and run it. That seems as
would have of course, but also it's after support services.
We offer support services too?
After that, we from 3 to 5, we have a mentoring and everything is going to set up. We're going to have people tutoring each other and looking over their work and all that. And then, of course, afterwards, then they could call us back and then we have a mentorship program, especially for the young people in the city too. So this is going to be very prolific. We are non-profit, so this is not a profit-oriented event.
Okay, well, let me speak to David.
Exactly.
Right? David, you are part of the Small Business 242 Association. I know they had a membership drive, and they have a number of small businesses involved in the association, and they're active, right? And this is a workshop geared towards making more business savvy, a part of your membership drive also, and to also their commitment, the association's commitment to small business in general. I want to know how you fit in as a small businessman yourself. Why did you join? What the benefits of you joining this? To say, well, come and join this because I joined and this happens to me.
Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, Ms. Neary. My name is David Turnquest. I am the president and owner of Premium Processed Foods Limited. We're the sole producers of premium processed sheep tongue. We have one product. And my thing is, when I got involved with the Small Business 242, especially the Resource Center and Mark Turnquest, it opens up a whole new aura in terms of new prospects, new business owners. It's business owners, small business owners in particular, coming together to share their strengths and their weaknesses, so they can empower each other. And my perspective with the association is I'm the senior family island administrator. So in extension to all that president has said already, we want to also encourage persons from the family islands that may be here in Nassau to come and be a part of the workshop so they can take this knowledge that is actually free just to come and show up. For the small administrator fee to actually come into the presentation, and you can take that back home and you can allow it to bill. You can bill off of it.
Also, be on Zoom, so they could don't have to come. They could be in Abaco, and they could just log on and boom, right there.
And I dabble in small business too. Right? And I must put 3 or 4 businesses I have licenses for, which must be expired by now, right? My thing is, small businesses tend to collapse after a year. I spent a lot of money investing, paying this license and whatever it is, and after a while I said, man, this ain't working, I need to start a new one. I want to know, how is it that the 242 Small Business Association can help me or stop me from failing again? Okay. And will this program assist me from not starting another business and say, man, see, I got to start a new one again?
We're as close as a phone call. What I've found is whenever I had an issue or question, I can call president or I could call one of the other advisors, and they are readily available to assist. So it gives you a door opener to help to build on some what I call passion. If you don't have passion for your business, passion is what keeps you going even when everything tells you to stop. I've survived. I've strived and I've survived for the last, from 2009 to current. I'm still not where I need to be. One of the purposes that I'm here, and I'm agitating on a regular basis with President, is that we're hoping to get to a point where we can actually access proper funding. After getting the knowledge, after having a product acceptance, when everybody loves your product and the business is, potential is extremely high, but you don't have the resources to foot it properly, you're not getting the resources so you can have a better control of your costs, right? That is why a lot of businesses die on the way trying to gain success, because cost control is not a priority. And what I like to do, make cost control one of your number one priorities. After you get the knowledge and the skill, after you've developed product acceptance, after all of that, then you need to realize, you know, something. We all in business do one thing. Profit is number one goal. If you're not profitable, then actually, you know, you're a charity.
And President Turnquest, right? David mentioned cost control. Will there be a course in this seminar, this workshop, that will explain what I should be looking for regarding cost control?
Yeah, because basically, I'll be speaking about the 8 M's of entrepreneurial success. It will look at all areas of having to start, manage, and grow a business. And one of the eight M's will be measurement. So we advise everybody to understand financial statements and QuickBooks accounting. I've been working with QuickBooks accounting for 22 years now. When I first in the country, I got all over the family islands teaching QuickBooks accounting. I'm registered with NACORP also to give certified certificates. But the problem is, a lot of people, and David could tell you, and that's why me and David work together, do not understand that all sales are not profit. There's a lot of costs and expenses. Every time you open your door in the day, you got to say how much money you need to make within a month. If it's seasonal or it's daily or monthly, you can say, hey, the first week I got to make, if I'm supposed to make $6,000 for the month to cover my fixed costs, which is rent and fixed and salaries, then you can say, okay, how much money do you need to put that aside? How much need I have to make in reference to my variable costs? That means buying your products and services and selling it over. So, because there's a big difference, and I tell my students and clients, the difference between a product and an expense. That's very important. And when it comes to product, you have purchasing costs. Purchasing costs are monies you spend to turn over to get a gross profit, not a net profit. Operating expenses are money you spend to facilitate the buying and selling of goods and services. So it's revenue minus cost of goods sold, which is your purchases, equal your gross profit. And gross profit minus your operating expense equal to net profit. And there's 20 categories of net off expenses. And if you don't have sufficient gross profit, you will have a negative profit every year. And that's what the challenge is with 90% of business in the country, because they don't have the distinct information, the separation of the purchasing and expense. And that's the problem. They can't know the purchasing costs and operating expense. And hence, they're selling at a low margin. They, when it comes to marketing, they run away from marketing, and marketing is not an expense, it's an investment. So you got to have money for marketing. During COVID-19, I market a lot.
So I come in here on Saturday.
Yes.
Fox Hill Community Center, right? I'm paying the $50, and you say if I have a group.
Only $15 per person.
Tell the price.
15.
$1.5.
$1.
Why are you thinking 50? Is $1.5 just 15?
You know, what happened is if you come in individual, just a lot of people coming by themselves.
But business is by themselves.
But if you bring a group, because there's a lot of membership, there's a lot of inner city communities. Like, say, for instance, while in the Bronx, in the city, he have a talk show Friday nights.
Yes.
He bring at least 15 to 20 different young men.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They ain't working like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only $15 they could pay.
Okay, so let me record this price now.
Yeah.
If I come in by myself, because you know I come in by myself.
Yes.
How much is that?
Only $50.
$50.
Exactly.
Now, if I have a group, like how you say, Scrooge is bringing in a group of men there who open up their small business.
And the young men.
And they will pay $15.
Yes.
So if you bring in a group of men who want to open up men or women who want to open up a business, they get that special rate of 15.
Or
but an individual person would be 50.
Yeah,
I can understand that.
Yeah, and it's just because you know we still try to raise money to fund this and everything, and but we on our track of finalizing everything, so everything is finished. We paid all of our bills so far for the venue. So we're good to go. All we do now is just those fine things, you know, the smaller stuff like getting the brochures and all that stuff. But we are fully funded because a lot of our members put money into it. Because we are a nonprofit and we have dedicated members.
Okay. So,
but one of the things I want to also explain to you that what is happening in reality in this country. Take, for instance, David Turnquest have a great product. David, explain what funding you need in reference to the major funding which you need in reference to over $200,000 worth of money you need.
Premium Process Food, being the only company that provides the product that we provide, what we're realizing now in reference to cost is that having proper funding, it's primary to being successful, to having the success margins you want to achieve. Right now, we need access in excess of $86,000 to procure a 40-foot container, a 20-foot container of product that would allow us to control our costs, initial costs, right? And also to have adequate, because that's still insufficient in terms of the demand that is out there. So proper funding is critical. At present, we're looking at a total of almost $900,000, which would include a building, proper market, property facility, and inventory. So we broke it down in segments so that if we can get the inventory would drive the other objectives. Sales is king. And if you can control your costs on your sales, you then can control the profit margin. Then you can have more to do, get more things done with. So the first objective is to try to raise, right now we're looking at $175,000, which is the initial drive, to procure the added and needed inventory.
So, but I understand when you open up a business that capital is always an issue, right? But how will this workshop facilitate that information that I don't fall into that trap?
Right, because like, David, don't forget to give your telephone number soon, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened is, we have some financial institutions will be there. We'll have simplified lending is going to be there, and we have one or two others. And of course, we have access to ROCX because, you know, they're in a high-end area.
Mm-hmm.
But the conversation with the individuals, including myself, and with simplified lending would explain the options, because there's a couple options when you start in a business. You could either go in debt by getting a loan, or equity by seeking a what I call investments in reference to shares in people investing in your business to get a return on their investment with dividends and everything. So you go to a bank or whatever, get a loan, you pay X amount of percentage for 10 years or 4 years or 3 years, and that's a fixed monthly bill you have to pay out every day. Or you have investors, so we'll say that we just invest in your business. And when we invest in your business, then we want to do what? We want to get a return on investment. So you could get a loan from a bank for some kind of collateral, or you could have and convince investor that your product or service is excellent and could give a good return, and they will buy into your business with equity shares and get a dividend. Or you could get a cocktail, a mixture of both equity and debt. So you could get 30% loan and 70% investment. So you get both.
So the workshop will
explain that.
So before we go and close this segment, because I do want to get some more information from David Turnquest, right, inside this business.
Right.
But I see how sheep tongue. I want to know how to get these bag of sheep tongue. But I wanted to give a rundown to what to expect. I'm a small business operator. Mm-hmm. I'm coming to your workshop on Saturday. Right? The time of the workshop again is what time again?
It's be from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
So again, it's now, a whole day workshop.
It's 9 to 3 with a lot of presentation and 3 to 5 for a lot of mentoring going on with experts one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all of that mixture, practical and theory.
And where is it going to be again?
At Fox Hill Community Center, right? And it's also it's be on Zoom. So people who want to attend from Abaco to North, Tinagua to South, they could call me. And it's only $50 on Zoom. Right? And then they call me at 427-3640. That's Mark Turnquest. 427-3640. I'm the president and founder of the 242 Small Business Association Resource Center.
Okay. And I want to talk about the South Side thing, man.
David, how can reach you to invest in your business? And because that's part of the program, to see how they can invest in David's business.
Okay.
Awesome. You can reach me at 325-3341. That's at the office, or my cell, which is at 636-0105.
Okay. Are you trying to say I can invest in yourself in this sheep town business?
Yes, because what we do is we answer the question in terms of how do I make product more cost effective,
mm-hmm.
more consumer friendly, and more convenient. And those are the three hallmarks of premium processed foods in the processed sheep town. We keep our qualities number one. We've been around for more than 12 years now. And we are basically in all of the major food stores, and we're here now to grow. We want to go to the next level.
Okay.
And that's the purpose of I guess, reaching out in terms of investing in premium processed foods or trying to raise the additional funding needed to go to that next level.
And remember,
you also got some watches. Well, just free watches too, man. Cheap down south.
I see that. I can hold on this for a while. To use this as something to give away.
Right.
So I can mention the name again. But I also want to talk about membership before you go.
Right.
How does one become a member of 242?
Now, basically, the membership drive is what I call comprehensive. We don't want people to come to a group to park in it. Everybody who come in our organization have to be involved with a committee or have some type of focus on what they want to do. Because we are not concerned about volume. We're not concerned about quantity. We look at the quality. So, because we have some strategic initiatives, we meet with governments. We are mentoring young and old business owners, entrepreneurs. So we want people who are focused, driven, small business owners and consultants. We want people who are the small business owners to give back to the community. So we are strategically focused. We want to improve the small business in the country. So like I always say, from Abaco in the north to Nago in the south. So, and you guys call me. Mm-hmm. 427-3640. I'll send you the QR code and give you the website and our Facebook page and everything. And Zoom, I mean everything, because we're on Zoom, but I'm saying with Zoom, it's just we have regular meetings. But the thing is, you get in touch with me, I'll put you on to one or two of our membership people, and then you come in war, you say, what you want to do? I'm good at mentoring inner city people. I mean, I'm into the mentoring women. You know, we have people like Alberto Rule, who is a corporate expert in legal field, in a corporate service. We have Simone Bow. You know, we have a lot of people in there who focus on helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And Simona's going to speak on human resource management.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. And Britta going to speak with the corporate plan, the difference between incorporation, proprietorship, and partnership.
So this is 242 Small Business Association. They have a workshop seminar, which is going to be on the 29th.
No, the 24th.
The 24th.
That's Saturday coming.
It's Saturday coming. Where's it going to be again?
The Foxhill Community Center.
For the Foxhill Community Center. And what time is it going
to
be again?
9 to 3. And you can also, if you're on a family island or you can't attend, you always call me, the 427-3640, Mark Turnquist. So I can link you on Zoom too.
Okay. We're going on a commercial break. And thank you very much for coming
in. Thank you so much. And I'm also tomorrow with Aaron Green.
Tomorrow.
And Howard Grant. Oh, yeah. We'll be back.
Guardian Radio AM.
Yes.
Have wonderfully.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay.
You see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Girl, why you so sweaty?
Y'all are getting ready for the Bahamas Games.
Bahamas Games? What that is?
The game started in 1989 under the then Minister of Sports, Peter J. Bethel, and now Minister Mario Boleg.
When the games is?
This July 7th to the 15th.
For more info,
go to www.thebahamasgames.org.
Or call 322-1029.
The Water and Sewage Corporation wishes to advise the public, its customers, and the residents of Wilton Street off Mackey Street, inclusive of side corners, that there may be an interruption to their water supplies between the hours of 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on June 12, 2023, for a total of 6 weeks to perform new main installation on Wilton Street. During this period, there may also be road closures and detour around the work areas. Motorists are asked to avoid this area between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience this may cause and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We just had the 242 Small Business Association and Resource Center with us, and they're having a workshop which is going to be on Saturday coming, June 24th, where they're going to be talking about a number of initiatives on how to start your business from scratch. It's going to be a prosperity workshop. They're going to be going over the issues that small businesses face and giving you advice on what to do in order to make sure that your business is successful. And that's going to be at the Foxhill Community Center, and it's going to be from 9 to 5. The price for that is $50 per business, or if you have a group of small businesses who want to take advantage of it, it's going to be $15 per person for that. But the other day, when I said the other day, Saturday gone, I was invited. Me, C.A. Nuri, can you imagine? I was invited to go on another show on another radio station to talk about Junkanoo. That's bold, right? Because most people say, well, what do you know about Junkanoo? You're not a Junkanooer. You don't rush. You don't pace. You never went inside a shack. Well, I've been inside a shack for tours, right? But I recently wrote a post, a small blog regarding Junkanoo, and a number of Junkanoos took offense to it. So when they took offense to it and they said, hey, you need to come and defend your position. And in fact, I'm invited yet again for another segment on Saturday again. on another program. But I'm going to read what I said. And I want callers for the last 15 minutes to call in and give their opinion on it, right? It says, the betrayal of John Canoe by the John Canoes. That was the topic, right? The betrayal of John Canoe by the John Canoes. John Canoe is the greatest show on earth. John Canoes traveled to Trinidad. They traveled to Brazil. They traveled to New Orleans to educate the diaspora that John Canoe is the premier and superior to all. But when these John Canoe returned to the Bahamas, they brought back feathers. They brought back styrofoam. They brought back tricks. They brought back wires. They brought back the carnival lime vocabulary, the calypso music, and have changed the John Canoe concept to look just like where they visited. Then the John Canoes lobbied. They had the audacity to lobby to import carnival and have carnival be a staple in the Bahamian culture. Now, when the tourists and international culture writers write about John Canoe, they now use the phrase, you mean John Canoe, the Bahamas' carnival? I wanted to sit right then, right? Because that caused them to get mad. I mean, I never get so many people calling, telling me about the dark side of me, and I am dark, but they talk about the dark side of me so much, then how dare I suggest that they are the ones who betray John Canoe. And I say, yes, it's you all. You all betrayed John Canoes by not really investing in it. No John Canoe own John Canoe. They are in it for the rush, and just the rush. They get their kicks by spending thousands of dollars tricking up their costume to make it look like a carnival costume, right? And then they rush, and then they throw the piece on the side of the road, and there's no money after that. And I'm saying that this is part of the betrayal, right? How did carnival come to the Bahamas? John Canoe groups lobbied the government to get carnival to come to the Bahamas. They went on carnival on exploration tour, and when they saw carnival and how carnival music moved them, they said, man, we need to have our own Bahamian John Canoe carnival. Now we have the carnival making money, and the John Canoes still complaining that, oh, there's no money in this, and we want government to help us some more. And I said, what you mean you want government to give you all more seed money over? But I questioned, who gets the seed money? Because somebody's making money from John Canoe, but it ain't necessarily the John Canoes, right? Someone's making a profit, and we need to investigate that. Is John Canoe at risk in the hands of John Canoes? Do we need the cultural experts, the culturalists, to take over John Canoe and say, no, 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 y'all ain't doing this properly because y'all are bastardizing John Canoe to make it into a foreign concept, which people, international people, are now confused, right? Then we now have a Caribbean vocabulary in terms of how we speak, even during John Canoe. We liming at John Canoe, right? We fetting at John Canoe, right? What's the thing where they throw paint on them now? This is a concern moving forward, as any minute now, I mean, we've been doing it already. We have calypso music being played on the brass section, where any minute now we expect to have people just singing at our John Canoe festival. I mentioned at this interview they had with me that John Canoe is in fact not a festival, but it's a parade. That didn't went well when I said that. People have gone wild after that. I said that it's just a mere parade that y'all are doing, and that you are blackmailing and holding the Bahamian people hostage because y'all are the persons who put on the performance, and that we are at mercy of your whim. Sometimes you say, man, we're in Russian, and that you forget that John Canoe is important to the Bahamian people also, that you are just mere custodians of this cultural event and not the owners of the cultural event. And then we had an exchange on whether who does John Canoe belong to? Does it belong to the Bahamian people? or that it belongs to the junk news in general. So this is one of the things I plan to talk about and stretch for the next couple of days, because, you know, I am a cultural proponent, and I believe that perhaps we need a pushback towards these junk news, and let them understand that we, as Bohemian people, are not satisfied on what junk news at this present time. We are concerned about the Junkanoo development. We are concerned about their role that Junkanoos have played in the detriment of the Junkanoo craft. And we are expecting more. I question the host of this Junkanoo program, right? Junkanoos have yet to claim Junkanoo, the festival, as their own. They have yet to develop the Junkanoo to become a complete festival other than the parade, right? I said, what about the history of Junkanoo? Surely the history of Junkanoo and the outline of what a costume, what a parade, what a the music of the Junkanoo is also important. And you just cannot, by whim, said, well, we saw this in Brazil, therefore it's now a part of Junkanoo without any consultation through with Bohemians. And of course, they said, though, as the practitioners, and that's the word they use, they have a right to tweak Junkanoo as they see fit. And it didn't go well with me, because I said, no, the tweaking of Junkanoo can't be only towards you. It has to be a consultation with the persons who watch Junkanoo, right? Because we are vested being our premier expression of culture. And then we had a discussion on whether Junkanoo is Bohemian culture in general. And of course, that conversation didn't go well because I gave them a definition of what culture is and what heritage is, right? And I expressed to them that Junkanoo is definitely not a culture, but a segment of a Bohemian culture, a byproduct of a Bohemian culture, and a byproduct of that. So therefore, it's not a culture. Because culture, by my definition, and people go and Google it and see and compare and contrast, that culture is something that is done by the majority of people. I put forward that the majority of Bohemians do not participate, are not vested in, are not interested in Junkanoo. The majority of people, when it comes to Junkanoo, are spectators. They watch the practitioners play, which would be about 4% of the entire Bahamas who might participate or be interested in it. And when I say participate in it, I don't necessarily mean to rush on bay or rush someplace. I mean the idea of purchasing a shirt. I mean the idea of investing money into the parades or being interested, and even watching it on TV. I said, I think that number is less than 10%. And of course, that's my numbers. And of course, we went back and forth about that numbers. And I said that when you add in all of the Junkanoo group throughout the Bahamas, it's less than 20,000 people. Maybe it'll go as much as 10,000 people who actively participate. But 10,000 people, 20,000 people does not represent 10% of 400,000 individuals. So that means Junkanoo is at risk to me when the majority of Bohemians are not particularly interested. And of course, we had a debate on the origins of Junkanoo, whether it had come from the Afghan people from Ghana. And the Junkanoos there had a different disposition on how Junkanoo started in the Bahamas and where it originally came from. And my conclusion on that is that at least culturalists are writing things down, because the history of Junkanoo is not being written by those who practice the craft. It's being written by those who observe it, and they are detailing the history of Junkanoo. I mentioned and questioned whether they knew that when John Canoe's old lord in the Bahamas being viced or determined that is a Obia ritual. And the person at the time said they can't have an Obia ritual of John Canoe being portrayed or played in the Bahamas. Right? I give the question whether they knew that John Canoe was stopped for a period of time in the 30s and didn't come back till after World War II, which is late 40s, 44, 45, 46, 48, when it came back and became popular again, right? I'm saying that the John Canoes have not taken upon themselves to recognize, to record the history of senior John Canoe members, right? Or the history of the individual groups. Like, who knows the story of how Saxons started? Who knows the story of how the Valley Boys started? Right? Where can I go in which library and find that out? If it is indeed a cultural event, surely someone's going to write down that story someplace. Right? Surely it's going to be detailed information about each group and the mechanism on how it works. A book on how to make a goatskin drum, how to make a cowbell, how they select the songs. I put it towards them and I turn out Valley and under the bus that they are so influenced by foreign groups, and this is why John Canoe is in jeopardy, that even the fanfare music of John Canoe with of the Valley Boys with the Valley Boys claim is foreign based. That when tourists or international hear that and they say, oh, we play that in college, that's a college theme, they copy it from us. There's no original music, no original theme, no Bahamian music, no Bahamian theme that is attached to the John Canoe product, right? That even the brass music that they do play, we go and search out the most foreign songs as possible to play on Bay, right? Giving tribute to other songs. There's no music attached to the beating of the drum, the clicking of the cowbells and the whistles. And I said that we as Bahamians need to be concerned about that because perhaps in 10, 20 years from now, John Canoe is going to be so much changed that we won't even recognize it. That it will be, in fact, a carnival event, right? I also mentioned that perhaps the former Prime Minister Perry Christie is right, that in order for John Canoe to survive in the future, John Canoe needs to be transitioned into a festival. I mind you, the Bahamians didn't take that too well, but during the time of Perry Christie, there was a proliferation of songs. Right, there were every carnival event we had about 30, 40 songs coming out. Right, for the past 8, 9 years, I'm not sure if we had any songs that came about written by anybody in the Bahamas. Thank God for KB producing songs every so often because no one else writing songs. But I see I have a caller here, producer Kermit, pastor caller through. I assume the caller wants to engage me. Go ahead, caller.
I'm pleasant. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Sparky here, good buddy. Avocados coming and get in the abundance like the last time you were in my yard.
I appreciate if you remember me when you're in your paradise.
You sure took a load the last time. Every time you say you had enough, I said, no, get another bag full. Because they were just dropping and falling and wasting. But a lot of them, I don't know, because of the climate change, but a lot of them, avocado young ones dropped this year. I don't know what caused that. But I wanted to say something that was said to me a long time ago. And I hear you talk about John Canoe. There was the distinct sound that I remember in John Canoe when I was a youngster going around because the make of the cowbells was completely different from what you see on Bay Street now. The cowbells, they used to buy them from Mr. Malcolm on Bay Street because he used to sell them to the farmers. Wood will put the cowbell around the cow's neck, and the lead cow would be followed by the rest of the cow. They put it on the lead cow neck, And in the evenings or the mornings when they're moving from the stable to the pastures, the other cows would follow the lead cow with the cowbell. And in the evening, they come back the same route. And what has happened was Uncle Donnie, them Donza George Hyler the First, started changing the sound of the cowbell by making welding cowbells for him in his backyard. The original cowbells was a little bronze thing with a little cowbell tone, just as you go click, 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 click. That's all it used to say. One special sound. Then Uncle Donnie came out with this extra long cowbells that he made out of sheet metal. And then Magon started doing the same thing. And then it came into tripling the bells. And then you got this click, rush, click, 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 click. And that changed the thing. Now, what Uncle Donnie had a problem with was, I think it was Buller and Gus went to Trinidad one time to visit their carnival.
And when
they came back, they had rules on Bay Street that you only could have used crate paper, newspaper, until the lights. You couldn't use the foil. You couldn't use all them feathers and stuff like that. That was the rules. Then gradually the rules started changing. And I remember one Sunday evening out in the back of Mr. Uncle Donnie's yard on Bay Street, he used to go down with the scrap group and rush with the scrap group just like Mr. Phil did. And one New Year's, Uncle Donnie says, he said, really call me Vincey. Vincey, that's my last time on Bay Street. When he first saw them starting to bring these foil and tricks and feathers and stuff, I remember him saying the same thing you saying now. And this was years ago, back in the 70s. Uncle Donnie said, I am not going to Bay Street no more. Jalkadoo is changing. They are destroying Jalkadoo. They are bringing Trinidad Carnival to Bahamas. And that man, till he died, he was making cowbells for the Jalkadoo groups. Never went to Bay Street again, never looked at Jalkadoo more because they changed it from the original Jalkadoo with just the cowbells, the drums. They brought in the trumpets, the saxophone, and the tubas. And he said, Jalkadoo is gone forever. It's a carnival now. We just call it Jalkadoo. And it ain't no turning it back because the younger people, when Wooler go off the scene, the younger people, you see what's going on now, right? It looked more like carnival in the Bahamas than it looked like Trinidad now. Especially with our, what they call them, off-the-shoulder dancers. The women and what they call it, choreography dancers now. You see how they dressing now? Jalkadoo will never come back. Have a good day.
I appreciate that long commentary there, Sparky. And mind you, I'm not saying that what the product that we have now in Jalkadoo is bad enough. I'm saying that it's not true to what Jalkadoo is. And if we are to transition to this new concept of Jalkadoo, there needs to be some kind of delining of what is traditional Jalkadoo, what is the future of Jalkadoo, and where we see Jalkadoo in the future, right? Because we are, as a country, and who is easily influenced by the United States and other foreign countries, because we tourist-oriented, we expect Jalkadoo to keep on tweaking. But it's tweaking to the point where people are saying it's identical to the carnival. It's identical to that big, big cloud Indian concept in New Orleans, right? It's identical to Brazil, right? If you take out the goatskin drum and the cowbells, it's bang, that's carnival itself. So therefore, it needs to be analyzed to see, is it true? Do we need to guard Jalkadoo more? Do we need to set rules in order for it not to gravitate or evolve into a complete carnival concept, right? And if it is the greatest show on earth, right, as some Jalkadoos would say, then there should be some protective mechanism to keep Jalkadoo into its true form. But it's 12 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. It's 12 o'clock, and that means I have to go. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.